Idiot wind blowing in through the front door. Idiot wind blowing in from the back. Idiot wind blowing in from every crevice, every crack. Anybody wanna tell it like it is to each other? Like you would to a sister or a brother. It could be said, cosmopolitan.
And joining us now is John Storr, the managing editor of The Washington Spectator and a professor of writing at Yale University. His essays and journalism have appeared in Al Jazeera English, The New Statesman, The American Prospect, Columbia Journalism Review, Dissent, Reuters, and The UK Guardian. His latest article at The Washington Spectator is Obama Must Call the Right's Bluff. Welcome to Background Briefing, John Storr.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And expand on the idea that instead of the of Obama calling the speaker's bluff on the government shutdown, he should be calling Boehner's bluff on the debt ceiling.
Right. There's kind of two bluffs right now, and you could call it Boehner's double bluff if you will. The first one is where he says that I don't have the votes in the House to reopen the government, and most of the attention has been paid to that statement, and most of the attention is coming because Obama has been saying prove it, and that's exactly what Obama should be doing. But the other bluff is that Boehner won't budge on the debt ceiling unless there's concessions on Obamacare and other forms of federal spending. And there's reason to think that Boehner won't go that far. In my piece, I point out that during his interview with ABC's This Week, George Stephanopoulos, he actually says on the side that at first he wanted this showdown to be about the debt ceiling, not about the government shutdown and not about Obamacare. And the reason, I think, is that he really wanted to run up against something that he couldn't control, and he could tell to his conference, the Tea Party faction, that, hey, this is out of my hands. We did it the best we could, and now we just have to pass this thing. And he would turn to the Democrats and say, okay, let's pass this thing. But he can now, because there was such a push by Ted Cruz over the summer and Jim DeMint's Heritage Foundation and everything, they would not let go of the implementation of Obamacare. And so he had to do it now. And so we probably won't see any budge, at least from Boehner, until October 17th. And then we'll see what happens.
But isn't that normal tactics in negotiating, that you negotiate up to the deadline and that's when you yield?
Yeah, I think so. The threat now is that that he won't yield, and so it's still a guessing game. And in fact, what complicates things even more is that, according to today's New York Times, there's a growing chorus of Republicans who are saying the debt ceiling is no big deal, and of course that flies in the face of conventional wisdom among economists and business people, like your previous guest Li Fang was talking about. The business community getting involved, they are really concerned about the debt ceiling, and it'll be anyone's guess how they respond in the next few days.
But in your article at the Washington Spectator, John Storr, Obama Must Call the Right Bluff, we're talking about, you mentioned here in your article that it's the strategy of the Ted Cruzes and the Mike Lees to unseat Democrats who are running in red states in 2014, and that they think that this is the right strategy. Now, ironically, to my mind, what is in fact happening here is that the best chance that the Democrats have of taking over the House in 2014, and this has been indicated by a recent public policy poll that says that the Democrats will take back the House, right, and that the vulnerable seats that they will take are the very moderate the very moderate Republicans, mm-hmm, that Obama is trying to call out now to say, call the vote on the House floor, Boehner. because we know that there's enough moderate Republicans living in Pennsylvania, New York, like Peter King, and California, that are not in red states, that are feeling the pressure, and there's no Tea Party traction in their constituency. So they're the ones that are prepared to, you know, man up and stop this insanity. But the price that they're going to pay is they're going to lose their seats. I see that as a massive irony.
Yeah, it is. I mean, even they all must be looking at Boehner too. I mean, Boehner himself, you know, the ostensible leader of the House, he's facing three primary challengers already. There's already been announcements for three in his district in southern southwestern Ohio. So, you know, if their leader is under the gun, and Mitch McConnell, by the way, is also facing a primary from the left and the right. And the Tea Party Nation, the advocacy group, just revoked their endorsement of Mitch McConnell. So, you know, it's a downward vicious cycle for that small group of people. But, you know, they rally around each other, and you know, what they believe internally is what everybody should believe, and so. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Again, I'm speaking with John Storr, the managing editor of the Washington Spectator and a professor of writing at Yale University. His essays in journalism have appeared in Al Jazeera English, The New Statesman, The American Prospect, Columbia Journalism Review, Dissent, Reuters, and The UK Guardian. His latest article at the Washington Spectator is Obama Must Call the Right's Bluff. Now, in the article, you talk about, you quote Machiavelli in saying that if Obama wants to break the fever of this extremely radical, you call it radical. I like to use the word reactionary because radical is in many ways a noble term.
Right.
Tom Paine, the intellectual founder, if you will, of the American Revolution, was a radical. So was Thomas Jefferson.
Right.
And they certainly weren't reactionaries like these Christian Dominionists and Tea Party libertarians who don't believe in government at all or believe in God's government. But in any case, you say that to break the fever of the extreme GOP, Obama should make an example of Boehner by crushing him, following Machiavelli's advice: if you do a person minor damage, they will get revenge. But
right.
If you cripple them, there is nothing they can do.
Yeah, this is an interesting moment for the president. I mean, for those of us on the left, you know, who have been disappointed by him on various occasions, this is a moment where he could really show some strength. I mean, when your opponent is weak, and Boehner is weak, it's just generally understood to be this way. I mean, this is the moment where somebody in a position of strength like the president is needs to, you know, crush him and just do it. So the question for those of us who have been, you know, disappointed by Obama in the past is, will he do it? Does he really have it in him? I don't really know, but in the past I've thought that he really believes in the high and lofty principles that he expresses, and it's nice for a politician to express those lofty goals and everything, but, you know, when it push comes to shove, you want a person who can bring the hammer down on somebody when the timing is right. Now the timing is very right, and it has to happen because if we go up against that the debt default deadline, that a lot of crazy things can happen. We already know what happened the last time we did this. The stock market went down, lots of insecurity with investors. And it paralyzed the recovery, and it didn't send us into a recession, but it slowed us way down more than we needed to. Our economy is already is not getting better very quickly, but it's recovering, and we don't need this to happen again.
So, but if Obama were to crush Boehner, and after all, it's his own party that's doing him in, and the extent to which, I mean, frankly, I don't have any sympathy for him because essentially, in order to keep his job, he's perfectly prepared to see hundreds of thousands of Americans lose their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's unconscionable.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't seem like a crazy guy like like Cruise does. Cruise right. is just a nasty piece of work. It's written all over him, and his shameful display in that faux filibuster, where he right. was clearly pandering to the Koch brothers and all these rich funders, at right. the same time using the Senate floor as a platform for his own personal fundraising and for his own personal ambition to run for president. So. He's thoroughly despicable, but Boehner seems basically like a good guy in a bad situation. So if Obama were to crush him, who would he get in his place? Would it be Eric Cantor? I mean Cantor's a nasty piece of work.
Well, right, yeah. And, you know, you probably get more of where this came from. I mean, nobody can read the future, obviously, but this president hasn't demonstrated real strength when it comes to bargaining with the Republicans. He's constantly let them push him. And the more that he's let them, the more that they have obviously pushed. We could all say, you know, that they're reactionary, that they're extremist, et cetera, but this president has allowed them to push and hasn't been pushing back. You know, we're deep enough now into his second term. The opportunity is right. We have this debt default crisis coming up. It could trigger an economic reaction. You know, the timing is right for this president to show real strength, and I hope he does.
And what do you think has restrained him when they have treated him with such contempt, such disrespect? It's been breathtaking over the years, what they've said to him and about him with impunity. What do you think restrains him? Because a lot of people think that he doesn't want to get tough and get angry because he doesn't want to fall in the trap of appearing to be the angry black man.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, and there's a lot of truth to that, I think. Two responses I would have. One is politics. He's very cagey and he's very calculating president, as a successful president is. So, you know, in 2011, he was thinking about the election, so, you know, he always wants to be the reasonable man in the room. Two, I think he believes he's the reasonable man in the room. This is what I mean by, you know, he expresses these lofty ideals, but I think he also really believes these lofty ideals, too. And so this is the part where I get very concerned, is that he may actually bring something to the table prior to the debt ceiling crisis, and then strike a deal and only arouse this craziness even more. So this is why I suggest in the piece that he has to go right up to the end and make them blink. Yes, it probably will be the end of Boehner if he can make him blink. Yes, probably some other crazy person will come up to, you know, lead the House. But that person will be even more transparently crazy. So that will be a good thing, you know. And as you said earlier, the public policy polls showed that Democrats have a very good chance of taking the House. They're probably not going to lose the Senate in 2014, and so there will be an increasing isolation of this reactionary cabal, as they say.
And John Stowe, what do you think of Li Feng's suggestion that the Chamber of Commerce and others start putting out ads? Not that there's an indication they're going to do it, but I'm surprised by how complacent Wall Street has been. The president tried to sort of get them in on his side, and they really haven't weighed in very heavily. So I'm curious to know whether, I mean, you know, there is this thing called the shock doctrine that Naomi Klein wrote about, where we've seen many evidences of that, where catastrophes like Katrina end up being windfalls for private contractors. So is it possible that there are some on Wall Street that think crashing the economy is fine and they're prepared to go along with it? It doesn't make sense economically, but I'm just asking you.
I don't want to, I guess at the risk of inspiring some conspiracy theory, I think they're waiting. I mean, they're waiting. They're going to be watching things very closely up until October 17th. Mm.
Well, they're saying that a lot of the top analysts are saying there's zero chance of it happening. They're basing that upon the fact that they're professionals and they're rational, and they don't think any rational person would do this. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're dealing with particularly rational players here on the Tea Party side.
Right. No, I don't think they are. I mean, these are people who believe that facts are a partisan expression. You know, to say that the sky is blue is a partisan expression, and it's only blue if I say it is blue. It's not blue if you say it's blue. So, but this is the kind of particular state of mind that is not easily understood among people who, you know, work on Wall Street and who are rational people and try to make rational decisions. It concerns me very much that you have a group of Republicans who are saying that the debt ceiling is no big deal. They can't possibly know that.
Let me ask you this, though, John. Uh-huh. Don't you think that these guys, like the North Carolina Republican senator and others that were featured in that New York Times article on Wednesday, saying that, it's no big deal.
Right.
Are they getting calls from businessmen, you know, that give them money? They're saying you're out of your mind. What are you talking about? I mean, do you think that's happening?
Well, I mean, if you're a businessman, you're going to wait and see if you can, you know, capitalize on this somehow. And I mean, what you're suggesting is that there would be a reaction to that right away. I don't know if necessarily there would be. I think it would make a lot of sense, like you and me and other normal people would react that way. But we're not, you know, even these business people, these very powerful, you know, check writers, they don't operate that way. They're going to see what kind of how they can cash out on some of these expressions. You know, maybe they can get Obama to blink. I mean, they're still waiting to see if that can happen.
Oh, I see. But what about
the past? In the past, he has blinked. So why wouldn't he do this time?
I see that. Yeah, your point's well taken. But I'm just thinking of the other point, which is that, you know, you can't short sell the United States. You're not going to make any money short selling the U.S. It's going to really be a catastrophe. And to that extent, I don't see how anybody in the business community could remain silent, notwithstanding that there may be some conspiracy theory vis-a-vis the shock doctrine. But
well, keep in mind also that Obamacare really, you know, it's about health care, but it's also about labor.
Right.
You know, it liberates everybody who feels like they have to have their job to have health care. Mm-hmm. And that's very worrisome to people who want to control the labor market.
Right.
You know, so if you can get the president to blink on Obamacare, that's good for you. You know, so, you know, you do have a stake in waiting till the last minute to see what will happen.
Well, John, I thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate
it. Okay. Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with John Storr, the managing editor of The Washington Spectator and a professor of writing at Yale University. His essays and journalism have appeared in Al Jazeera English, The New Statesman, The American Prospect, Columbia Journalism Review, Dissent, Reuters, and The UK Guardian. His latest article at The Washington Spectator is Obama Must Call the Rights Bluff. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about Goliath, Life and Loathing in Greater Israel.